Hello and welcome to another thought for the day from New Milton Evangelical Free Church. Let's come to God in prayer as we come to his word. Father, again, we thank you for your truth. We thank you that the intention you have in giving us our Bibles is to enable us to come to know you better, to be sure of the things that you have said, to be confident in your promises, to walk in faith, accepting that you will always fulfill what you have promised us to do. And we thank you that every promise of yours finds its yes and its amen in the risen, living Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. So be with us now, we pray, open our eyes again to your word, help us to understand its truth and to walk in its ways. Amen. So we're coming to the close now of the first letter of John. What a wonderful letter it is. What incredible truths it brings before our eyes. What amazing assurances. What confidences it instills into our hearts as we look to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. So we're reading today verses 16 and 17. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. Those two verses have caused a lot of Christians a lot of heartache. I had been a Christian only a couple of years when a friend of mine, a young lady who also had become a Christian, became convinced that she had committed the unpardonable sin and spent hours of misery and heartache examining herself in condemnation and just incredible torture of soul because of that. So there are those who look at these verses and see reason for doubt, doubt of their own salvation. That's kind of ironic, isn't it? Because if you've been following us as we've looked through 1 John, John's purpose is exactly the opposite. He writes to these Christians so that he says they may know that they have eternal life. He points them to the inner witness of the Spirit. He points them to the external written word, the apostolic teaching that they can grasp in their hearts and in their minds. And they can be certain that having trusted in Christ for salvation, they will be his for eternity. So what are we to make of these two verses? And they are not easy verses. Well, first of all, let's make it perfectly clear that God's intention in giving you his word is to tell you what you need to know, not to trouble you over what he doesn't say. Alistair Begg is often heard to quote this phrase, "The main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things." So the things that Scripture clearly states are the things we are to get hold of and hold on to. The things which are perhaps in a little bit of doubt as far as exactly what they mean, they're not so important and we are not to agonize over them and torture ourselves with them. So we'll try and consider some of what this verse is telling us. But in order to do so, what I want to do is backtrack. And I want to line up four important points. The last one comes to these verses, the previous three, from what John has already said. First of all, everybody sins. It's the result of having a fallen nature in a fallen world. We all inherit from Adam the fallen nature, which is a part of our human life. We all sin. We all do not give God the glory in our living in the way that he designed us to do. Everybody sins. Secondly, all undealt with sin leads to eternal death. We know that, don't we? That's the whole point of the gospel, that it preaches life to those who are due death, that it actually gives us release, rescue, freedom, justification, righteousness, all of these things that come from Christ, that he clothes us with, because we need to be taken from our sin into his life. All undealt with sin leads to eternal death. Thirdly, all repented of, confessed sin will be forgiven. And there is the important point. So if in your heart you have come before God and you've said, I recognize that these things in my life are sin, they fall short of your glory, they give you cause for judgment, your justice comes against me and it condemns me. I recognize that these things are sin in my life and I want them out of the way. I want God, I want you to deal with them by the blood of the cross of Jesus. All repented of, confessed sin will be forgiven. John says that so clearly, doesn't he? We need to hold on to it. It's guaranteed by the cross of Christ. That's why he died. And if we say we don't have sin, we actually are calling God a liar. We're saying he didn't need to send Jesus and Jesus didn't need to die. But when you believe in the cross of Christ, when you've trusted this dying Saviour who is now alive, it is guaranteed that your sin will be dealt with. And that's irrespective of your heart condemning you. Remember that verse earlier in John, if our hearts condemn us, God is faithful and just. He will forgive us. He is greater than our hearts. He speaks louder than our heart, even our own heart within us actually speaks when it condemns us for our unrighteousness. And God says he will forgive us and he will cleanse us from that unrighteousness. Irrespective of what your heart sometimes says to you, you can know that God has forgiven your sin. So let's go back over those three. Everybody sins. All undealt with sin leads to eternal death. All repented of, confessed sin, will be forgiven. So what's John doing here? Well, he's saying, first of all, he's not concerned. He's not talking about the kind of sin that leads to eternal death. It's not what he's asking people to pray about. What he's concerned about here is that we should recognize it's not just our sin we should be actually concerned about. It's the sin of our brothers and sisters. We're keeping an eye on them. We're looking out for them. If we see that they are taken in a sin, we are to pray for them. John has just in the verse previous, and it's important to link these verses as we come through them. The confidence we have in approaching God, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Close on the heels of that statement is this business about praying for other brothers and sisters who have fallen into sin. So what is the sin that leads to death? It's the sin that it is impossible to repent of. Hebrews 12 tells us about Esau. Esau, it says, sold his birthright for a meal, a single meal. And later he regretted it and he sought repentance with tears but couldn't find it. He found it impossible to repent. So that kind of hardness of heart, which cannot come to God and confess sin and repent of it and leave it to turn to Christ, that's the kind of sin that leads to death. And of course there will be believers who look like Christians, who seem to be believers, but are actually false believers, and they will fall away. John talks about those earlier on as well. So if you're a Christian and you have doubts based on this verse that you might have committed the unpardonable sin, take heart, look at the rest of the letter here and get this verse in context, because John is writing so that you may know you have eternal life in Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the strong assurances you give us, for those of us who believe in Jesus, that we can trust him wholly. And if we have doubt as to our own capabilities, we should flee to him. We should look to his strength, recognizing our weaknesses, we should cling to the cross, for it is the only place where our sin is forgiven. So help us to walk in the delight of this knowledge that you have dealt with our sin and it is removed from us for eternity. Amen.